Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, Episode 7, which originally aired on June 22nd, 2020. This is Andy Daly. Hello. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/andydaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay. Thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside. Take some Ponderosa pride and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
Yeah! Oh my! Shotgun this time.
Yeah, you gotta step it up.
Look at that! You bring it. You've brought a different kind of gun situation to every one of these recordings, haven't you, Mud?
I sure have, and I'm really looking forward to episode 8. Let me just leave it at that.
Is that right? On episode 8, you got a special treat for us, gun wise.
I can't say much more because it's highly illegal.
Oh, okay. I think I have some ideas of where you might be going. Folks, you are listening to Bananas for Bonanza, hosted by me, Dalton Wilcox. I am the poet laureate of the West and the foremost collector and chronicler of the wit and wisdom of the West. And this here is a podcast devoted to the one and only television show that ever was, Bonanza. And we're going to be talking about one episode per episode. And we're going to be talking about an episode today, which is episode 7. And I'm my co-host, Mutt Taylor. You just heard from Mutt. Say hello, Mutt.
Hi, it's me, he, himself. Now, we'll talk about that later here in the flesh. Boy.
You got that right. And my other co-host is here, Amy Sleverson. Hello, Amy.
Hi, you guys.
Each week, we have a guest on this program. And this week, we've got a real exciting guest to help us talk about season 1, episode 7 of Bonanza. This is a fellow by the name of Cram Daniels. Let me read what he says here. He is the host of The Deadwood Boys, which is the number one podcast about Western TV series. What the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? Cram Daniels, are you there?
Oh, I am here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. You know,
I'm a big fan, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Mutt. That is, I'm so glad to know that our pod, listen, obviously I know because the numbers bear it out. We have the number one podcast on all of podcasts that is documenting episode by episode a TV series that is dedicated to Western frontier life.
What the hell are you talking about? What is happening right now? This is like I'm staring into a mirror.
The TV
in an
show
pool
we're talking about is Deadwood. It ran on HBO from 2004 to 2006, followed by a movie released just last year. It's an amazing show. And I'm thrilled to be here. Once I heard you guys were doing this Bonanza thing, I said, I got to get on this.
Bonanza.
What?
It's called Bananas for Bonanza. Oh. It ain't no Bonanza.
Sorry. I thought it was Bronanza. I'm sorry. That's a miscommunication, but I'm very excited to be here.
Near enough episodes.
Yeah, Deadwood, that's real finite, friend.
It's very finite, but it's It's a show that has writing that is Shakespearean in how dense and to discern what's going on, you really got to dig in. So each episode we dig into, it takes us 4 or 5 hours to really get a full scope of the episodes. The very long episodes.
I know that now I don't listen to podcasts, but I subscribe to a service that downloads it and transcribes it and sends it to me like a phone book. And these episodes, when I get them, they're super thick. I have a kid. I don't have a wife or anything like, but I do have a kid, and he drives a John Deere tractor, but he can't see over the front of it. So he sits on two of those episodes of your Deadwood podcast, and that's how he drives. They're so
listen.
That sounds like somebody finally found a use for your podcast.
I'm caught in the middle. Shots fired.
Hey, listen, I understand, I'm just happy to be here because listen, if some of my listeners find this podcast, you know that's great for you guys. Because we are just up to our eyeballs in listeners, really. Our ears.
We're not going to need your help. You're not going to need your damn help. How many episodes they do of that Deadwood show? How many?
Oh, I think there is a total of 26, maybe 24 or 26.
What a joke!
Even a season of Bonanza.
That's true. That's not even. How many episodes there are? Of
what's
Bonanza?
Interesting about it is there's a certain degree of. You know, because it's premium, because it's HBO, you know, there's something really exciting about it versus kind of just anything that's thrown up on YouTube in some sort of very low standard definition or below kind of transfer. You know,
that's what you're talking about.
I want to get lost in a series where I can see clearly and in focus the characters' faces, the backgrounds, everything.
Wait, you're watching this on YouTube? Because I watch this on a broadcast television. Tube television, and it's tube television. It's a digital antenna, but every one of them channels got a little secret channel behind it. You know about that? Like there's channel 13 A, B, and C, and Bonanza comes on in 13 C, and it's like watching it like the old days. I don't know about this YouTube.
That's all well and good, but I'm just gonna say I happen to watch this episode of Bonanza on a YouTube link, and it was very difficult to make out what was even going on.
I watch it on YouTube, too, and I have it projected on the side of my barn, and I shoot the bad guys. That's what I've been doing lately.
Oh, wow.
And I know exactly what's going on. Amy Slaverson.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this Deadwood show?
I haven't, but I do have a new product that I'm hoping that might be of interest to others. It's a Lazy Susan, and then on the outside... there's an inscription from Samuel 18:27, and I think it says where we are right now. David went out and killed 200 Philistines and brought back their foreskins.
Oh, he brought back their foreskins.
Yes,
that's a lot of foreskins. 200.
200 Philistines, and those are the people who are the problem.
Did he just bring those back in a sack or stitch them together like a popcorn garland?
Well, they don't say exactly if he was a crafter, but they say that he went out and he brought back something. And that's also about sharing, which is my business model, is helping empower women of faith.
Do you think that there's any chance that on the road home he snacked on any of those foreskins? If he became hungry or something like that? I mean, are we sure he arrived? We know he arrived with 200 foreskins, but how many did he leave with?
Yeah, how many did he leave with?
I thought about getting into foods and things but the problem is if you have too much product and it can deteriorate, you know, has a shelf life, you know, that kind of comes out of your pocket.
I'll bet you could sell, and I'm not recommending it, I'm just speculating that you could sell pickled Philistine foreskins.
Or dried out, salted, dried, yeah, salted like a dried jerky out. Style, you know.
Or deep fried like pigskins.
Yeah,
there you go. There's a lot of solutions.
I mean, this is a business right here, guys.
We're not kidding, huh?
That's Amy? You'd want to know they were quality and that you were getting them from a good source.
That's for sure. Well, okay. I am disgusted and angry that there is a podcast about another Western TV series. And you say it's number one by the numbers. What are we then?
Yeah.
Number,
so on the, 100? You know, the way they break down, you know, comedy podcasts, music podcasts, entertainment podcasts, you know, each kind of category. So the podcast category that is television show recap, which is what we all fall under. The Deadwood Boys is number one. Number one with a bullet, because it's a Western-themed show.
I like that.
I like that, too.
And we get, you know, approximately 500,000 to 750,000 downloads per episode. We've got a lot of advertising dollars behind us. We're part of a pretty big network. We're, you know, it's pretty exciting time right now to be podcasting in this genre, especially.
Yeah, I think we probably get a couple billion listeners.
Yeah, if you
show.
Consider alone just the three of us download once each time, that right there.
I mean, certainly significant, of course. Yeah. But, you know, it's just, hey, listen, I'm not here to try and make it competitive. Like, you guys, I get it. You guys are just starting. You're still in season one. That's very exciting. And I just want to, you know, I'm trying to help you guys with the little thing you're doing here, Bronanza.
Dalton? Jealousy is a map. It shows you where you want to go.
Oh, hey.
That sounds pretty good.
That's really good. Where I want to go is to this guy's house and shoot him in the face.
Oh, well, you know, I live in Los Angeles, right in the center of the city. So, you know, please feel free to come on by. I'm assuming you're not in this area, but based on what I'm seeing on the Zoom call we're on, you...
Yep, this is my ranch just outside of Tombstone, Arizona.
Yep.
And it's a quick bus ride to Los Angeles, so just watch yourself.
Okay. I want to come to your house, too. Just could I be a guest on your podcast? As I said, I'm a big fan.
Oh, Mutt, we'd love to have you on. You know, your expertise from this show alone would give you, you know, watching this episode of Bonanza, there's so much, the Venn diagram, there's so much overlap.
Right.
You know, a frontier town, you know, people have come to get rich on claims that are, you know, argued over and adjudicated who is the rightful owner. I mean, these plot lines are so similar across both shows, just one done terribly and one done amazingly.
Dalton, it sounds like Amy, would you guys mind? Would that be a conflict of interest if I were to be a guest on his podcast just for one episode, two tops? I mean, not a season.
It's cross promotion. It's the best thing you can do.
Mutt, like, you know what you could maybe do is come on sometime when the Journeymen are on.
Oh, hell, I didn't know my brothers in Musical Charms are doing podcast circuits.
We've reached out, and they've said that they are very interested in coming onto the show and that they would love to talk about a theme song, perhaps. Who does the theme song for this show, Dalton?
Oh.
The Journeyman does the theme song for this show. It's the best theme song of any podcast that ever was, and they are goddamn not going to do a theme song for the Deadwood Boys, goddammit. No chance about it. I'm getting furious now. I'm getting real mad. You made me mad.
Oh, I do apologize. I didn't think it would be a problem. I don't know what I've gone and done.
I've obviously misspoken or I've made a misstep. Yeah. My apologies. I'm not trying to cause any strife here between you guys, obviously.
Put your hand over
your ears.
Be curious
about your anger, Dalton.
What'd you say about my anger?
Be curious about it.
Be curious about it?
See how it feels in your body.
Oh, it feels real good. But... I like it. If you go on his show as some kind of a spy to bring it down, then I like it.
Yeah. All right. Cram, put your hands over your ears for a second if you don't
absolutely.
Mind.
Absolutely. I'll take my headphones off.
Hands between your headphones and ears if you don't
absolutely.
Mind.
Absolutely.
That's the plan.
So I'm a type of double agent now. Normally I don't do spy stuff because I'm a cowboy, but as long as it's genre specific, I'm into this.
I think that's fair. All right, you're going to go on that podcast and you're going to destroy it from the inside. Tell me all their secrets, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'll get their playbook.
Good plan.
You got it.
All right, Cram Daniels, you can take your hands out of your earphones now.
Hey, Cram.
Damn it.
Cram.
Wave at him.
God damn it, Cram.
Why is he looking at his... Can't get Cram's attention again.
Jesus Christ. Cram!
How long did you think this conversation was going to be?
Amy, can you do some kind of shrill whistle or banshee scream or something?
Oh, okay. I'm back.
Oh, thank you.
I heard a very high-pitched noise and assumed that was my cue to come back.
That's right.
It was. It just about blew out our whole sound system. Well, okay, yeah, everything's fine, Cram, and you're very welcome here, and I'm delighted for you to have Mud on your
Great.
Show.
Great. So let's get into season two, episode three of Deadwood.
Wait, no, don't. We're not doing that now. What? This is, you're on Bananas for Bonanza right now. We're going to talk about season one, episode seven of Bonanza.
Oh, okay.
We're not talking. That's you'll fine. Have to wait. You'll have to wait. Until another
That's
time.
No problem. I have no problem with that. Let's do that. And then we'll talk about that for a couple minutes. And then we'll jump in to my guys are already here in recording. So we'll jump straight into season two, episode three of Deadwood.
I am prepared to do that. I think that's where they talk about Hearst coming to town. And he says
it is Hearst's man. Mr. W has arrived. Hey, Mr. Walcott has arrived.
It's not going to work that way. Jake it can't McCall. Work that way.
Yeah. Joni Stubbs has her new whorehouse up and running. Sure, you know, sure.
Hey. It cannot work that way. Oh. We devote 1 hour to talking about an episode of Bonanza on this podcast. What you do after that hour is perfectly fine with me.
No problem. It's your show, Dalton. You go right ahead.
Thank you very. I don't need permission to go right ahead from you. This is my damn show. This son of a bitch. He's so friendly, but then he sticks the knife in. God damn this guy. Whew.
You know who you sound like, Dalton?
Who do I sound like?
Ben Cartwright. Taking care of everything and being so codependent, wanting to be control. He wants to control everything, even stuff that isn't on the Ponderosa. The Ponderosa is his land, but then he doesn't have to go into Virginia City all the time, but he does, and then he tries to fix everything.
Yeah, well, Ben Cartwright is literally the only responsible, sensible human being anywhere in the Utah Territory. But listen, before we get into the episode, damn it, we've done it again. We waste all this time. Take us so long to get to the episode. What I want to do one of these days is start off saying, welcome to Bananas for Bonanza, scene one, and just go. But every time we have to all this nonsense. But I do want to tell you, we've had a lot of enthusiastic response to the 2020 first annual Wilcox Ranch Exposition of Cowboy Poetry, Wit, Wisdom, Western Music, Beans, Neckerchiefs, and Rope Tricks. And that's going to be happening on July 4th. The Journeymen are going to play, and Bartleby Mulcahy is going to come down and sell some of his sand paintings, and Chip Junction is going to be there giving a live demonstration of Blue Dead Redemption, and Amy Sleverson is going to be there selling products, and we're going to see if we can lure Russell Shine down there, put him in a dunk tank full of piss, and it's just going to be a great damn time.
Dalton, okay? I'll say this, if it helps you out at all, me and the rest of the Deadwood boys would love to come and do a live episode of our podcast at your festival.
Whoa.
Wow. Well, sure, that sounds wonderful. Why don't you come on down, and I'd love to have all you boys there on my property.
Terrific.
There to do your thing and come home perfectly safe.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I would assume nothing less.
I'm working up a Wild West stunt show spectacular shootout, and we're going to need a couple of volunteers from the audience.
Well, yes, we just might need some volunteers.
I can
for a
do
Wild
it.
West
Wait, Amy,
shootout.
Come on, Amy, no.
Not you, Amy. The fellas from the Deadwood boys. Maybe we'll be.
We'd love to. We'd love to participate. We'd love to bring our audience to you. We'd love to have. We can record an episode. Perhaps you guys could be guests on our episode. We could do some of the readings of our metropolitan based poetry. Any of the things that are
metropolitan based poetry.
Yeah,
you do metropolitan based
There's
poetry.
No such thing.
Oh, of course.
I can't even imagine
it's
how that
poetry
would work.
About city life.
Ah, oh, come on, that's
Lord
doggerel.
Almighty. Good heavens, who in their right mind would ever want to hear that? Oh, my God. You are a piece of work. Well, all right. We'll have you out there, and we'll try not to kill you. Here we go. Let's talk about this episode. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't say my famous catchphrase that I say at the very beginning of every one of these episodes. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. Welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. Dang it. Is it too late to say that?
Hell no.
So are All you right. going to just, because I know you guys are just at the figuring out podcasts and it's cute to see. Are you going to like edit that into the beginning or are you just going to leave it here?
Edit.
Oh, don't you worry, my friend. It's going to be smooth as silk by the time it hits the airwaves.
We're sons and daughters of God.
That's right. We are sons and daughters of God, you son of a bitch.
This podcast is edited by God, you goddamn side-crawling crab-faced motherfucker.
So,
yeah.
Is that who you would like me to send the wave file to when I'm done with this?
Yeah, send it straight to God and send it with a message that you're here to stay permanently.
Okay,
boy, I
sounds
really
good.
Flipped. I really flipped.
Good for you.
Oh, boy, I'm steamed.
He's burning my biscuit. All right. Well, this what we're going to talk about today is episode, well, no, this what you're listening to right now is episode 7 and episode 5 of Bananas for Bonanza. And we're going to be discussing season 1, episode 7 of Bonanza, the television show. And this episode is called The Saga of Annie O'Toole, and it has lots of things, but not everything. It has, believe it or not, this episode, at no point does anybody shoot anybody in this episode. I couldn't believe it. I had to rewind and go back and watch the whole thing over again. At no time was anybody shot. But there's some top-notch brawling. There's a couple of hilarious Hop Sing episodes, scenes in there we're going to talk about. There's a couple of very brief and peculiar appearances by a couple of engines. And there is another Woman of the Week. So that's exciting. And I don't know, though, but might be that we have to take a goddamn break already. Do we have to take a damn break before we get into the episode? It appears we do. When we come back from the break, we will be talking further with Mutt Taylor, Amy Sleverson, and Cram Daniels of a pitiful podcast that nobody listens to about a television show that, as far as I can tell, never existed.
Deadwood Boys, number one with a bullet. Our fans are called fucking cocksuckers.
Is that what you call your fans?
That's what they call themselves.
Well, wow. It sounds accurate.
You guys, all right, we got to maintain our relevance.
On this
your
podcast?
Irrelevance?
Our relevance. Our relevance.
Yeah, I'm not worried about our relevance. We're very relevant. We're talking about Bonanza, for heaven's sake. All righty, we'll be right back after the break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to Bananas for Bonanza. Dalton Wilcox here, Amy Sleverson, Mutt Taylor, and Cram Daniels are special guests for this episode. We're talking about episode 107, The Saga of Annie O'Toole. And this is a real good episode. Let's just get right into it. You ready?
Yep, absolutely.
This episode opens like any classic multicam sitcom where you've got a father and a daughter. And she doesn't have an Irish accent, but she uses a lot of Irish lingo. And he's got an Irish accent. And, of course, because he's Irish, he is a drunkard. And she's hassling him about his drinking. And they're talking about a fella named Swede, who seems like she's fixing to marry. And as soon as they start talking about him and how long he's been gone and when he's coming back, he bursts in the door. And he is, by the way, that's Alan Hale Jr.
Oh, the skipper.
Actor playing Swede. Yep.
She's actually doing a specific accent. It's known as High School Musical My Fair Lady accent.
Is that what Alan Hale is doing?
Yes.
Well, yeah. He's you probably remember him as the skipper on that stupid show, Gilligan's Island. And he's a guest star in this episode. I have a feeling that he might have auditioned for the role of Hoss. I just have a feeling.
You know, that's probably right.
Yeah, you can feel the tension.
And you think they probably held on to him and said, you know, that guy was good when he came in for Haas. We didn't end up using him, but maybe we can use him for this Swede part.
Yeah, yeah, they tucked him away for later reference. And
as
now he
someone
gets to show
who
up.
Is not a regular Bonanza watcher, I will admit to being very confused by this opening scene as it stars none of the series regulars for this TV show and establishes a set of circumstances that heretofore I don't believe we have any understanding of their context within the larger Bonanza world.
That's,
not at all.
That's Bonanza.
Now, on the casting, my understanding was this was a Star Wars Carrie, Brian De Palma, George Lucas thing where they shared auditions, Gilligan's Island and Bonanza. And it was just a whole day. And you'll hear all kinds of stories from Bob Denver and Hot. I mean, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher Hollywood Walken. Oh. Everybody. Yeah. Everybody's involved.
Amy
Chewbacca.
Irving. Uh-huh. Yeah. The actor,
you went in for the day.
The actor,
you didn't
Chewbacca.
Know. The actor, Chewbacca.
Yeah.
You got a phone call at the end of the day telling you whether you got on Gilligan's Island or Star Wars or Bonanza, and you had to take the job, whichever one it was.
Yeah.
They assigned you to
no,
one of those
they
shows.
Just film it, and then they edit it together, and you walk around, and they say, and they, everyone's wearing a body cam, like all,
yeah.
All yep. Police officers should
those
wear.
Must have been huge body cams back then.
Very big. Dan Blocker got to be on the greatest television show of all time, and Alan Hale Jr. got to hit an idiot with his captain's hat year after year after year. Poor fool. That show, by the way, they had all kinds of different people on Gilligan's Island, but they didn't have a cowboy. They should have had a cowboy,
no
in my
kidding.
Opinion.
Not even
could
close.
Could have said the professor
no,
and Marianne
no
and a cowboy.
Crossover episode between the Bonanza people and because they aired during the same years, if I'm not mistaken.
Almost every television show aired while Bonanza was airing.
Yeah. Bonanza overlaps for, I think, 11 years with The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, at least. Yep. It was on, it might still be on. No, I'm kidding. It was on until 1973. 14 years of Bonanza. Damn, not enough. Well, what we do learn now is that Swede, they're in San Francisco. Swede went down to Nevada, and he staked two claims in the Washaw Diggins. And he's come back, and now she, Annie O'Toole, says, hey, I'm entitled to one of those claims, and Swede accepts that, and he gives her one of those claims, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we go to the opening credits, and here's just a little piece of trivia about this episode. this episode marks the seventh time that the burning map is featured in the opening credits of an episode of Bonanza. Isn't
every time this or fun fact comes up, I don't think it can get more fun. And every time, it gets exponentially more fun.
Yep, it's just a fun fact.
Now, and, just because I haven't been watching, and nor do I plan on watching further, is the map burning more and more each episode? Will we get to a point, in the end of the credits of the last episode, will the map be burned completely?
Cram, jealousy's a map, so it doesn't look good on you.
That's right. Burn your map of jealousy, Cram.
It's foreshadowing the end times. And and they just cut and paste the same clip every time because we know what the story is going to end like.
Amy, do you feel at all like the burning map, this map of this area on fire, is trying to suggest that this Ponderosa or this area might be, in fact, hell?
Yes.
Quite
that,
well,
that Satan's... Satan's that. Flames are licking at, like, I'm curious as someone of faith, do you, like, that you believe in Bonanza as something that has good moral Christian values when clearly the opening titles suggest that this takes place in hell.
Well, that's the confusing thing about being a Christian is having faith and you don't understand the mystery of God's wisdom. So anytime
True.
You don't understand it, you just go, oh, I'm not meant to.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
But you have said previously that the Ponderosa is the land of Israel. Isn't
yes.
It?
Yes. And I have some plates coming out that are dinner plates or decorative that you can put on the wall about Sarah laughing at God. Sarah was past the age of childbearing, and so Sarah laughed to herself. She thought, am I worn out? How will that happen? And then Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say I really have a child now that I'm old? And then he says, I will return to you and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was afraid, so she laughed. And she said, I didn't laugh. But God said, yes, you did.
And he made her bear a son, though she was beyond childbearing age.
Yeah, and that's on a plate. And it's a dinner plate, or it can come as a platter.
A question for you, Amy. Those plates, obviously they can be used to eat off of or serve a meal on. Can they be used during a brawl to be broken over someone's head?
Yes. Yes. They can be used as defensive.
Because we saw that a lot in this episode. There was a lot of breaking of plates over people's heads.
Listen, that's a good, what's the word?
Segue. I'm just going to give you a couple of podcast tips here, Dalton. It's a good segue into continuing to talk about the episode.
I didn't need your help. Do you see what I did there? Already, you son of a gun. Here's what. Now, this was last time we had a 12-year-old boy as a guest on this podcast, and he actually described Bonanza as boring, and I felt like it was unfair because we didn't show enough of the brawling and the exciting stuff. So I'm starting this one off right away. I'm going to, damn it, I'm going to share my screen. I screwed it up. Hang on now. I'm sharing my screen, and I'm going to show you a hell of a clip. Wait a minute. I got to share computer sound as well. And we're going to show you the really outstanding brawl that opens this episode. But that's not it. Oh, son of a gun. Don't make fun of me, Cram. Here we go. Here we go.
You're doing great. You're doing great, Dalton.
I know I am.
Oh, the starts dog.
Off with a dog. Now, here come these miners in the Washoe Diggins. They're going to attack. Oh, they think they can swing a pickaxe at Ben Cartwright. There goes Adam. It's a big old brawl. And the music is very sounding.
Incredibly loud.
This is overwhelmingly
loud.
Oh, hang on. I can adjust that. There we go. Now, there goes the two engines. Their tent just got squashed in the fight, and they ran away like cowards. And little Joe beat some people up. His chest is exposed. His hairless, heaving, sweaty chest. Look at this comical thing here. He almost tripped over a guy.
This isn't any of our affair. Oh, son, we can't ignore the rest of the world. We're the only stabilizing influence in the country.
Hey, well, you sure stabilized that one, Paul.
Now, I didn't hear a word you said, but I imagine it was great.
Yeah, I could see everybody's mouths moving, but the volume on the clip was just so hot, so loud.
Okay. That's fine. So even, I turned it down at some point, and that didn't make a difference.
It did
for
not
you.
Make a difference.
Sure. Isn't that interesting?
Some people might say don't criticize, condemn, or complain, compliment.
Oh, well, you did a great job of making that too loud.
You did a great, and also I will compliment you. You did a great job eventually finding the clip you wanted to play.
Well, thank you very much, you son of a bitch. What? I know when I'm being condescended to.
How
by the
soon
way.
Could I be on that podcast? Do you think, there, Cram?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we've got episodes. We're recording episodes every week, so it really depends on if you'd like to do it over Zoom like this, or if you'd like to wait and come and do it in person sometime when we are, you know, when it's safer to travel and so forth.
Ah, well, I'm ready for that now.
We'd all love right. to have you either way, Mutt. Yourself,
I think you got to the journeyman. Mutt, you got to go there in person. Yeah, I think you got to go there in person. You know what I'm saying?
I'll go there in person, and I've been quarantined in the back of my trailer, so I'm clean.
That's great.
He's fine.
Yeah, no, and I've and I said just so you for your peace of mind, I've been quarantined here as well. It is just me and my young son. You know, I'm a single father. It's we're just here together, getting through it. Had a bit of a dust up last week. He was bit something bad and has been acting out a little bit, but otherwise he's doing fine.
What do you mean? What was he bit by?
It's a pretty nasty bite. I'm assuming it was a dog of some kind, but it seems nastier than a dog's bite.
Like
but,
just
you know,
two holes?
No, there's Cram. Four. There's four holes, but it's pretty severe. More so than like a normal dog would do. You know, maybe a large dog, a really
Cram,
large.
Are
dog.
You? Are you emotionally attached to this child in any way at all?
Of course I am. He's my son.
Okay, well then this is going to be very hard. But between now and the next full moon, you've got to shoot that boy with a silver bullet.
I don't know about that, Dalton. That seems pretty severe.
Nope, that's the only way to do it. And if you don't, I will. Understand me?
Okay.
I think it's better if you do it. I think it's much better if you do it in that kind of mice and men kind of way where The smart one had to shoot the idiot, even though everybody wanted to shoot him. He's yours. You shoot him.
I hear what you're saying, but I live in Los Angeles. I don't think there's anything nefarious or supernatural happening here. My son is just now, he's becoming a man. He's a little hairier than he was, but you know, he's never been to
Trader Vic's?
No, never.
Is his hair perfect? Let me ask you this. Is he also an idiot?
No, he's not an idiot. He's a very bright boy.
Clever.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's sad to hear that Cram Daniels has a werewolf for a boy, but we're going to take care of that problem in the usual manner. Now, all right. Annie O'Toole shows up in the Washaw dig, and she came here to claim her thing that she got, her claim to stake her claim she got from Swede, who's not her husband. And now, here is where the big problem happens with this episode. She hands her claim piece of paper over to Hoss, and Hoss takes her there to her claim. But Hoss, who we know is a lovable, gigantic idiot, unfortunately, I guess, takes her to the wrong claim. She's supposed to go to claim number one, and she ends up on claim number two. And while Hoss is bringing her there, Hoss digs a grave for her father, who died on the way here, just as he very specifically, he was very, very clear. He said, if I go to Nevada, the second I breathe that air, I will die. And that is precisely what happened. And so Hoss digs a grave, they put him in it, and they bury that old man there. And then she, to thank Hoss, starts cooking up a meal, and some miners see that and yell out, woman cooking! And they come running. That was a beautiful moment. Are you a good cook, Amy Slaverson? You are
a woman. Oh, yes. I love to lose myself in the kitchen. You know, especially, I don't eat it myself. I only enjoy food if others have eaten first.
Is that right? So your husband over there, who we talked about last time, accidentally shot you at least one time. But I remember last time you said that you got caught in a crossfire when your husband was shooting at some beer cans. And it was not until much later that I thought, well, that's not a crossfire, because I don't think the beer cans were shooting back.
Oh, that's a very good point. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyways.
So you were caught in friendly fire, really.
Friendly fire. But my husband, he tries to push me to be the best that I can be. He wants me to be a prophet. And by that I mean a prophit, and be a co-missionary. Mm-hmm. Making money and being a hashtag girl boss.
Yep, and that's what you are. And it sounds like you're a hell of a cook, too. And he eats his entire meal before you even tuck in for one bite.
Yeah, I just say, you enjoy yourself. And I stay quiet. And then I wait for him to ask for drinks.
When you watch your husband eat his entire meal, do you do it the way that they do here in the camp, where all of the miners stand around and in real time watch us eat a full meal, like alone? They just,
that's
the
right.
Show he sits on the wagon, and they all gather around. The length of time it takes a man to eat a meal. Like, that's part of it. It's like four full minutes of him just eating.
It's a tension builder. It's like radical French film.
It's like Norwegian slow TV. You heard of that?
Yeah, sure. When you watch a train for 4 days.
Yeah, except this is just a fat guy eating.
It's like the scene in Ghost Story where Rooney Mara eats an entire pie alone.
I'd like to see that.
David Lowery's movie? Yes.
Hey, by the way, there's a line in this scene where Adam makes reference to Annie O'Toole's culinary arts, and she says, watch your tongue.
Yeah.
Now, a couple weeks ago, they was too squeamish to call an obvious prostitute a prostitute on this show, and now they're making a cunnilingus joke. What do you make of it?
Now, they would have showed him eating that in real time, I bet, the whole meal.
Oh, I'll bet you they would.
Well, they do show that on Deadwood. I will be honest, that is featured pretty prominently in multiple episodes of Deadwood, is actually how much real sex was happening on the frontier.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's okay. You can still be a virgin and have all the things on the outsides.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's good to know.
You could also...
I mean, we are all adults. We should all know that. This shouldn't be news to anyone.
Well, it's news to me.
How?
Well, I hesitate to say, but I...
Go ahead, Mutt.
Have you never eaten a peach?
Well, now, how do you mean? Because I want to be real careful about this.
Have you ever practiced the culinary arts?
Mind your language.
I beg your pardon.
Look, I hesitate to let this go out on a podcast because we have so many listeners, but it just as it turns out, I am a virgin.
What in the hell are you talking about? Mutt Taylor?
Yeah.
Mutt, you
gotta
be kidding me.
Yeah. My son.
What are you saving yourself? You saving yourself for your wife?
I've had a few wives, but I just immediately knew they weren't the one. You know, I got married and went, I don't think so. And I can do better, I thought.
Between I do and carrying across the threshold at the bridal suite, you said to yourself, this ain't going to...
I don't. You said I do and then said to yourself, I don't.
That's right. Now, but we did do things on the outside, and I thought then I wasn't a virgin. But come today, I find out I am.
Oh, no. All exterior business does not count towards losing your virginity at all.
That's right. Wow. You know what you can do, too, that makes you into virgins, too? But it's kind of like getting inside is you get a board with a hole in it.
Okay.
Go like on.
That's not a bad idea.
Nothing
better
else.
Dig a hole in the
ground.
Just
a board with a hole in it.
Nothing else. That's all I need. Now, I'm taking notes here. I go to Home Depot, and I just buy myself plywood or MDF.
No,
do you make the hole yourself, or do you? Is your intention to happen upon a hole already existing?
If I bought plywood without a hole, is that not a virgin wood?
That certainly is a virgin wood.
Okay. Keep in mind, though, plywood is just a lot of different woods pressed together, so you don't know where every bit of that wood has been.
Well, ain't that the truth with the first two wives? Listen, I'll get myself a fine hardwood, like a walnut plank, make sure it doesn't have a hole, and then I make a hole, and then we're both together?
Well, then you've both decided on how big it is.
We decide.
Oh.
You and the board.
I've decided already. It's big.
My husband, we're getting my uterus blown out so we can have an open plan.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the last episode,
sure
I remember. You're talking about an open plan concept.
I remember that well.
So you're just going to get rid of it? So you think you have a load-bearing uterus? So you're just going to... just gonna kind of get rid of it so you can really open things up and have a bit more of get a little more light in there.
Well, it's just
one of those uteruses that you do an open plan, but you still got to have one support beam in there and a pipe maybe kind of coming down.
Listen, that's a good point. You need to have a contractor in to make sure that your cervix isn't too load bearing.
An engineer.
I said, all I want is storage. That's all I want.
What are you going to keep up there?
Oh, I don't know. Beans?
Yeah. That's how it works with storage. Give yourself some storage, and then you'll figure out what goes there.
You'll
find something.
Your claim paperwork, things you really want to keep safe.
Hey, wait a minute. Were you about to say that we're getting far afield of this
episode?
Yeah,
we got to talk about Deadwood. Let's go.
Yeah, not Deadwood, goddammit. No, Bonanza. We're
Deadwood.
Talking about Bonanza.
Season 2, episode 3.
No, we're not talking about
Requiem.
That.
Al Swearengen is finally feeling better enough to get up and around the camp again after his savage beating and minor stroke at the hands of Seth
Bullock.
That
doesn't sound interesting. That sounds boring.
This is what happens
boring
when Christians hear about Judaism and how wonderful it is. Don't let them know.
Don't let them know. Oh, my God. All right, look. Here's what happens. So Adam just wants Annie O'Toole to go home because she's the only woman in the whole Washaw Diggins, and he knows what's going to happen to her. He says, this is no place for a charming woman. It might be a place for a charmless woman, but it ain't no place for a charming woman. And so he wants to send her away, but she didn't have enough money to go back. And he says, hey, I'll tell you what, since you're so good at cooking, why don't you open a restaurant and I'll build it for you and you can earn just enough money to get back to San Francisco. And that's a plan. And she says, well, you come in as my partner. And he doesn't want to, but he does. And then we go to some narration for the first time ever on this show. There's narration. Adam narrates a whole lot of exposition about how well their cooking business is going there.
Sorry, I just want to say this was highly controversial because they did this with the different cuts of Blade Runner, and now you can find a director's cut of this episode of Bonanza without the narration.
I was confused also by who was narrating. I didn't know it was Adam at first. I was like, maybe there's a omniscient narrator to this show. I didn't know this was the first time it was occurring.
Oh, yeah. No. That's
it's very strange. I can understand. Seven episodes in, just dump something like voiceover narration onto an episode of television. Very atypical. Well,
you got to be a lot smarter to watch Bonanza than you do to watch Deadwood.
Yeah, that is categorically untrue.
Why you'd be confused. But this was Adam, and he was narrating just to tell us some things. I'll bet you they shot scenes where this information was conveyed through dialogue.
This is a show that takes easily 3 to 4 minutes just showing a man consume a bowl of meat and potatoes. So I don't think this show is really on the cutting edge of intellect. You know, it's not asking a lot of its audience other than to understand that when food is eaten, it doesn't magically disappear. It is ingested spoonful by a giant lummox of a man.
Because we don't use spit buckets on this production. Every actor eats their food.
They eat their damn food. Yeah, man, oh man, I can't believe what you just said. Literally all the stupidest people I know have HBO. Only the dumb ones. Anyways, Ben Cartwright, by the way, he gets roped into being the judge, referee for any minors disputes in a minors court and minors law. These are all things that are brought up that I never knew existed before. Then we have a hilarious scene where Hop Sing is angry that they don't like his cooking anymore because they're so used to Annie O'Toole's cooking that Hop Sing, he's a very funny Chinaman. And then, what else? Swede shows up. Swede, this is the scene where you can really see the tension between Alan Hale and Dan Blocker. Where Alan Hale's like, here I am lapping up the table scraps. I could have been eating the whole meal. And he's in there, and he says, I'm worried because of the confusion about the claims. And long story short, as I sort of mentioned a little bit before, it turns out that Annie O'Toole was supposed to be on claim number one, but now she's supposed to be on claim number, I forget. Now she's supposed to be on claim number one.
Do you want me to break this down for you, Dalton? I have a pretty good
command
of the episode, you know, just for sake of argument. If you want me to, you just let me know when you want me to jump in.
I don't need your help, God damn it.
He's trying to steal she's supposed your to be sale. On.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be on claim number one, but she is instead on claim number two. That's where she built a restaurant and buried her father. And now another guy comes along and his name is Trapdoor Gregory.
And you forgot to mention that the father's name is himself.
Well, that's a strange
thing.
This
was confusing, right?
She keeps referring to her father as himself.
I thought it was an Irish brogue thing.
Is
it a common Irish thing for one's father to be referred to as himself?
Yes, but only once in a while.
Okay.
She managed to get it in twice a sentence.
You know, in a way that you might say to someone, hey, keep your opinions to yourself, right? But instead, this is as if it's his name is himself.
Or is it like His Majesty? What are they doing?
I couldn't make heads or tails out of it, I'll be honest with you. And they did no favors in explaining it.
Yeah. Well, you got to be real smart and understand how Europe works. Like people like me, like I really understand all things about Europe, even though I hate it. So anyways, this Trapdoor Gregory, who, by the way, got his name, apparently, because in the Barbary Coast, where he shanghais people by putting a trapdoor underneath a bar stool, and so a person will sit down and have a drink at a bar, and the trapdoor will open under him, and next thing they know, they're on a boat to China.
Yeah, he made it a Warner Brothers cartoon.
Oh, I didn't understand what that was.
Yeah, that
all.
Came out in a very that came out in a very difficult way to understand.
It would be one thing to fall through a trapdoor, but to fall through a trapdoor atop a stool—that's dangerous. You know, like you're really going to get hurt.
Boat, like you're over on a pier, and then
and it turns out
underneath.
That Annie O'Toole's father himself made the trap doors, and they were the finest trap doors the Trapdoor Gregory had ever used, and he only paid himself in whiskey and never in
himself the man
not he himself
Trapdoor Gregory
right
no Trapdoor Gregory paid himself only in whiskey. What's confusing
himself
about
the man?
This? I'm saying Trapdoor Gregory paid himself in whiskey.
But which himself?
Himself.
Not himself, Trapdoor Gregory, but himself. Himself, capital H, the man who refers to himself as himself.
Why are you making this complicated? Trapdoor Gregory paid himself
for the
in
listener.
Money.
This is, I just want the listener to be clear what's happening.
Yeah, just and for the sake of argument, if he was to speak to himself, would he whisper or say it out loud?
He'd say it out loud. Trapdoor Gregory paid himself in money, but he paid himself in whiskey. Yes, Amy.
Who's paying Trapdoor to Shanghai, people? Why are they being put into what?
I mean, he's probably. I mean, my assumption would be, Amy, that he is selling people for profit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that he is like a human trafficker of some sort. If that's the intent, if that's what, if that is in fact, if he's Shanghaiing people out of the port of San Francisco, then my belief is yes, he's selling people at a price.
So that's what's going on. So we don't like Trapdoor Gregory.
Nice to see Adam get a little romance, because I was wondering, they've done it for Haas, they've done it for Little Joe. When was it Adam's turn?
Well, exactly. And not only that, when they did it for Haas, he fell in love and she died. Mm. And then a couple episodes later, Little Joe fell in love and she died. And so as soon as Adam and this woman started making eyes at each other, I said, she's a goner. She's going to be dead by the end of this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I was wrong. Mm. They didn't quite fall in love. So she was able to live.
That's right. Well, she, in fact, have a type.
Yeah, she loved the Swede, which we find out very late in the episode.
She loved the Swede. Yes, I suppose she did. Well, this is the part of the episode that happens all the time where I got to try and pick up the pace here to get through some of this plot.
She can't read or do math.
She can't read. She can't do math. Good.
But she makes amazing food. To a degree that it warrants price increases from $1 to $1.50 to $4.50 all the way up at the end of the episode. A plate of steak and potatoes is $15. I mean, in a very short amount of time, she is price gouging these miners to a degree that I don't even understand how that's happening.
It's 1859 money, too, let's not forget.
So that would be about $450 steak.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, at a certain point, I thought early in the episode that she might be like pulling a con on the camp. You know, that it might be some sort of thing where she's kind of she's going to be proven to be able to read, and that this whole thing is some sort of scam that she and the Swede are running or something like that. But that is not the case. In fact, she is just price gouging the miners, charging exorbitant prices for the food that they
Bonanza's
now love.
Bonanza's not big on twists.
Well, once you teach a woman to read and count, that's what she'll do.
Yeah, that's true. She's extremely unscrupulous, this woman. And that's the truth. She's a strong woman, which means she's a liar. Okay, so now there's going to be a miners' court to determine the outcome of which one of them. Now, this gets a little weird here because Trapdoor Gregory, he definitely wants claim number two, which she is on, and her restaurant is there, and her father is buried there. But he could just go and get claim number one, and I don't know why he thinks one is better than the other. But it turns out they determined that claim number two, in fact, has like the biggest silver strike in the whole Washout Diggins. I don't know how they found that out or when they found it out or how Trapdoor Gregory would have known that.
They found it out in those scenes that they cut to put the narration in.
There's a bunch of narration that fills that in when they come back from a commercial break.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've got another scene to play, but I don't know if it even...
Well, let me take my earphones off and put them across the room.
I'm not confident that this scene is going to make sense based on what I've told you.
Yeah, but here we go. If there's any way we can just boost that volume, that'd be great for me, just so I can...
I'll do my best. This scene is the miner's trial. Ben Cartwright is presiding over the miner's trial, and Adam has brought Haas up as a witness, and they are trying to determine who has the rights to claim number two, and you'll see what happens here, and let's just watch. Okay.
Now, the whole point here seems to be that...
This is more than I wanted to show you.
May
you
I call a witness, Your Honor? Thank you.
We're going to have to ask God to do some editing because I didn't want to show you.
They're all related. All the people in the court know each other.
Yes, the judge is the father. The attorney here is his son. And then the witness is also his son.
The hubbub. Everybody's doing a lot of murmuring.
Yeah.
Hung court?
What's that? What are you questioning the legitimacy of this minor's court?
Did you or did you not dig an exploration shaft on the disputed claim?
Now look at
the
this.
The very first day Miss O'Toole came to Virginia City.
Oh, very subtle wink. Now Haas gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, I dug a hole. It's
just answer the question.
Yes, sir. I dug a hole 6 foot deep, 6 feet long, and 3 foot wide.
Oh,
gentlemen, that satisfies the requirements.
Yeah.
And there's not a thing in miner's law that says you can't bury a body in an exploration shaft and then fill it back up again. Gentlemen,
he's
I ask that you rule in
like
favor
Han
of Miss Annie O'Toole. The assessment
true.
Work was done.
All right,
that's
no, I didn't
why
explain
one
enough.
White family should always be in charge of law in a city because it gets
Ooh.
Things done really fast.
Ooh, I'm not sure that's right at all.
Well, it seems like that's what that was saying.
Yeah, that might just be the message of the episode. But anyways, there's a bit of a dispute about whether Annie O'Toole has a legitimate claim on claim number 2 because she didn't make any improvements to the land during a certain period of time, after which the abandonment law
Well,
has
to be clear, she doesn't have a claim to claim 2 at all because she was given claim 1.
Yeah, I know, but she falsified the document.
She
so
falsified.
Like
she lied.
She lied.
Like, and the person
the
on trial should be Haas for being a moron and bringing her to the wrong place.
Yeah, I know, but they never mentioned that even one time that it's Haas's fault.
And then the Cartwrights basically Shanghai everybody.
Yeah.
I know. This is a rare instance of the Cartwrights being extremely dishonest in order to affect the outcome that they prefer, which, by the way, only helps the business that Adam is a partner in. So
it does seem like a conflict of interest.
This is cowboy cronyism.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, maybe it makes it a little bit better that the person who lost out is literally named Trapdoor Gregory.
And he has like a mustache and it seems, to be nefarious in all ways, shapes and forms.
Everywhere you look, drain the diggings.
Like he refuses to take his hat off. He refuses to show to honor and show deference to the court. You know, he's just a no good guy.
He tries to hide by standing on a chair.
Is that something that happened in this episode?
Yes. Annie is trying to hit him, and he escapes by standing on a chair within arm's length of her.
Oh.
It reminds me of when Stephen Tobolowsky arrives in the Deadwood camp representing Yankton to announce himself as the new cop.
Yeah, no. Doesn't remind anybody else of that. No, that's ridiculous. Hey, look. All right. Look, we're running out of time. Now, what else happens in this episode? She sells claim 2 to Trapdoor Gregory for $25,000, and then she goes over.
Oh, she can buy
possession.
Four of her own meals.
Yeah. That's about right. Yeah. She goes over, she takes possession of claim number 1, she has a big fancy funeral for himself, and then they bury
Trapdoor
himself.
Gregory?
No, what? Trapdoor
yeah, he
Gregory.
Pays for it.
He pays for the funeral and the new himself is moved over and buried on claim 1.
Trapdoor Gregory pays for a funeral to bury himself.
Now that doesn't make sense. Why would you put good money out if you're just going to be dead?
Well, no, Trapdoor Gregory isn't dead. Huh? He paid for a funeral to bury himself. He's fine.
Let me ask you this. If he were to touch himself, would it be just pleasure or mild assault?
How
That's
does
a funny
I mean
one.
What do you for my qu-
both,
my question
be
would
both.
Be for Trapdoor Gregory how do you put how does he put himself into the ground?
How does Trapdoor Gregory put himself into the ground?
Yeah,
just dig a hole and put himself in there. That's all. Simple. And then
who covers himself? Who, you know,
he and his boys cover himself.
The grave digger was a woman, it turns out.
What do you mean the gravedigger was a woman?
Herself?
That's what Riddles. Riddles, the answer is the gravedigger. Right. And it was a woman. That's why you didn't think of it. Because women, I don't usually do things.
Yes.
How does a man bury himself?
The bullet was made of ice.
Yeah. Oh. How can a man bury himself if he's a woman? That works. Well, and then it turns out that they've got silver there on claim number one also.
So everybody wins.
Everybody wins, except somehow they seem to indicate that Swede was going to profit from that. Oh, yeah, because he marries.
He returns and marries Ida Lupino.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that will bring to a close season one, episode seven of Bonanza. And now, I'm sorry to say, it always pains me to say it at the end of one of these episodes, there are only 424 episodes of Bonanza left to go. We have discussed seven episodes already.
Yeah. I don't know. I sort of say we just start over because we're getting too near the end.
I know. It feels bad.
Well, you guys can do what we do on the Deadwood Boys podcast, you know, and really dig in longer. You know, why do one episode per episode? Why not spend a couple of episodes per episode? You know, a couple of podcast episodes to break down a single episode of Bonanza, really, because this is long form storytelling, Bonanza, you know, really long, drawn out scenes. Why not spend a lot of time, just even spend an entire episode just deconstructing the opening titles and the map burning, you know?
Is that what you do there on Deadwood?
Yeah, like we spend.
What do you call your thing? The Boys of Deadwood?
Deadwood Boys. Like, yep.
The Deadwood Boys.
Yep.
Yeah, well, we could easily do that. I think we could spend up to 24 hours discussing one line of dialogue on this show.
Yeah, and by the way, Deadwood Boys isn't even a pun. How are you getting away with that?
Oh, yeah, good question.
Oh, it's not meant to be a pun. It's just a group of friends talking about Deadwood.
That's not a podcast.
Oh, I assure you it is.
No, you have to have a pun title to be a podcast. I heard that.
So, so Bonanas for Bonanza is a pun?
Yeah.
Because I mentioned to a couple of people that I was going to be on this, and they all found it very difficult to find it using Google because they weren't understanding Bonanas. They were just trying to find it with Bonanas for Bonanza.
They were spelling Bonanas wrong.
I, for the longest time, just thought it was called Bronanza, which is, to me, would be a better title. So, you know, it's you've made it not only difficult to find your podcast, but... it's a difficult thing to kind of penetrate into simply because it is really kind of lost in the shuffle. You know,
you have to earn it. You have to want it. We're the speakeasy of podcasts.
This show
isn't for people who need it. It's for people who want it.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, it has been suggested a few times that we should spell the word bananas wrong. Because people have a misconception about how that word is spelled, but we're spelling it correctly. B-O-N-A and then the rest. And I'm proud of our name of our show.
It's good. What, you know, it's nice for consistency's sake, to any time you have a podcast entity, to have the title be difficult to remember or say correctly is itself part of what makes a good podcast.
Right.
Thank you very much.
The host be each time unable if they've said it right or wrong, and the common misconception in which to point people to find it, you know, a little bit of mystery goes a long way
in having
a podcast.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah, I think you get it.
I get it. Don't you worry.
I don't know. All right, hey, does anybody have anything to plug? Amy Slaverson, do you have anything to plug?
Yes, I have a new set of serving spoons with two Thessalonians on it. It says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. And then I don't give my husband the serving spoons until he's gotten home from work. But he goes to work every day, so it's I haven't really done it yet.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that's funny. I like that. That's a good. So you can get that at Lots of Daughters. Cram Daniels, you can plug anything as long as it's not that hateful podcast of yours.
Deadwood Boys, we're closing in on the end of season two right now. We've been doing the podcast for 3 years. An episode comes out every week. Please, please subscribe. Check don't out subscribe. Our Patreon page. We're please doing do a lot that. Of great work. It's, again, the number one podcast about Western television, frontier life television. This is what we're doing. We live it. We're all city dwellers. Also, if you want, check out my my internet presence where I do city-based cosmopolitan poetry. It is everything about what is great about being a city dweller. And that is just what I'm putting out there, Cram Daniels, on all the correct, you know, platforms.
And it's this Chinese translation, so it's worldwide.
Yes.
Oh, man, this is one of those rare vampire and Frankenstein and werewolf and invisible man people who needs to be put to death in all of those manners immediately. And let's not forget, his son is a goddamn werewolf. He probably bit his own son.
It's not his son. It's guy. Not his son. It's himself.
Himself. Himself is a werewolf. He bit himself. All right. Mutt Taylor, what do you have to promote?
Well, you know, at the big July the 4th celebration, I'll be doing a Mexican standoff with myself and two mirrors. So I was practicing with that, and I went to a fun house with a bunch of mirrors, and I shot a kid. He had a ray gun. Looked real enough. Yeah. You know what? Actually, I think I'm just doing a monologue from Die Hard, so I got nothing to plug. Yeah.
All right. Well, if that's all of the old business, then I hereby move that we adjourn this episode of Bananas for Bonanza. Anybody second the motion?
I second.
Third.
All right. Those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Motion aye.
Aye. Well, that's it. It's a unanimous. The motion carries. We'll see you next time on Bananas for Bonanza.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly, with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley, with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Special thanks to our gang on the ground, Josh Richmond and Shannon Locke. Bananas for Bonanza is produced by Ryan Connor and Matt Gorley, and executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Bennett. We'll see you next time.